Yo, 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 what's up all you burner stoners and potheads? This is Weedman 420 with the Weedman 420 Chronicles. How are all you vipers doing out there, Mrs. Weedman?
Mr. Weedman.
How the hell are you?
Doing pretty well today.
Nice.
How about you?
I know why you're doing pretty well.
Why?
Because it was 82 degrees and you sat outside and worked all day.
I did. It was great.
Hey, everybody out there in the world, hopefully you're smoking some big fat doinks while you're listening to the show. And Mrs. Weedman and I are about to get normal and tell you a story. And we're going to smoke some Bruce Banner that we got from a grower here right out the old backyard of Chicago. Three trees. And super stoked because we've smoked their stuff on the show before a while ago, probably about a year ago when we first met them. And we saw them this weekend at an event we're going to talk about here in a minute. But before I talk about that, let's talk about Bruce Banner. Sativa dominant hybrid, Mrs. Weedman. Sativa dominant. How happy are you that Mr. Weedman smoked? But what Mr. Weedman's about to smoke.
I don't love it for you. I love it for me.
Bruce Banner is about a 60-40. Sativa Indica ranges between 24% and 29%. The homage to the comic book legend could turn even the Incredible Hulk into a mild manner everyman. It's powerfully relaxing with sativa dominant genes that deliver a massive dose of THC, sometimes nearly 29% in some tests. That makes this kind of like a holy grail of sorts for patients seeking the strongest high. CBD contents, however, low. So this is not an ideal choice for conditions that respond to that chemical. The head high is intensely euphoric combined with strong creativity and a whole body mood boost. Energy levels are high, making this a good daytime strain. Bruce Banner is a highly effective painkiller, but it's also good for anxiety, depression, nausea, and sleepiness. Dry mouth and bloodshot eyes are common side effects along with occasional paranoia and dizziness.
Oh, great. The dry mouth is always great when we're doing the show.
The worst. The dominant flavor is sweet with notes of citrus and strong pungent smell. The bud has a heavily frosted appearance due to the thick layer of resinous glands. It's most popular in Colorado, Arizona, and Oregon, though it can be found elsewhere. Expect the strain to increase in popularity thanks to its high THC concentration. Effects: creative, euphoria, and happy. Relieve symptoms of ADD, ADHD, anxiety, arthritis, bipolar disorder, chronic pain, depression, fatigue, headaches, insomnia, nausea, and stress. That's a lot of symptoms. Flavors are berry, diesel, strawberry, and sweet. Aromas are diesel, floral, pungent, strawberry, and sweet. I've smoked Bruce Banner before. It's been a long time, though.
Yeah.
Been probably a good like a 2 or 3 years since I've smoked it. So, but I'm looking forward to trying this.
I guess I'll share.
Thanks.
I almost forgot.
You.
Sometimes I get a little carried away.
You do. So we had a great experience this. Well, actually, let's talk about last Thursday first.
Okay.
We went to a brand launching, which was kind of fun.
Yeah.
At what's the name of the place?
Pizza we went to? Lobo.
Pizza Lobo.
In Logan Square.
Yes. Great cute, little spot. Cute little I like it. Very cannabis friendly.
Kind of retro corner beer and shot joint, right? Yeah, with an outdoor patio with fire pits. It's just a nice vibey place. Super casual, low key. It was a fun party and it was smoky.
Oh my God. It was clouds and pine clouds.
People were like, people that weren't smoking were claiming to have had a contact high.
O-Dog's
boyfriend.
Boyfriend who doesn't smoke. Very said contact high. I'm like, get out of here. He's like, no, I'm like, all right.
Oh, he went home and told her. He's like, your dad was talking to me about a lot of things, but I couldn't follow. He's like, I think I was high.
It looked like he was, you know what I liked about it?
What?
If he was contact high, usually he talks about 99.9 miles per hour and he's like fucking flying and everything he does. And he was actually just sitting.
He was calm.
It was great.
Chill. He was on your speed.
Because
he's usually on my speed.
Yes, I'm usually kind of chill. So he usually flies high, like not smoking high, but he's fast.
Just naturally.
Yes, and to me it was like great. He was like really listening and calm, and it was amazing. So, but it was a lot of fun. We were at the Old Pal launch party.
Yeah,
saw some great peeps there. So those people I haven't seen in a minute either, so it was great seeing everybody there. And then on Sunday was the Urban Legend Cup finally they brought something to the South Side. Yeah. And we were at Blue Island Brewery in Blue Island, Illinois.
Blue Island Beer Company. Beer Company. So if you're trying to look them up.
Yeah. They make some really nice, lovely beers. My favorite is that Zap, that lager they make.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Oh, but Alan is the owner. Yes. And he came zipping through. I was running to like my one break to go to the bathroom, and he's walking towards me. I was like, "Hey, Alan." He's like, "I was just coming to deliver you a beer. Here, take this." And they make soda also. And he did half of their pumpkin pie soda with their Five Bridges lager.
It was delicious.
Half and half.
I got to try a sip of yours. It was really nice.
Oh my God, that was so good.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm not one of those pumpkin spice, it's fall people at all.
It was actually, it was actually really nice because when I relieved you for a second so you can go use the bathroom. So let's, before we get into that part.
Sorry.
So it was at Blue Island Beer Company, and the Hi-Fi Media folks put it on, the folks we had on the 420 show.
High Focus Media. I'm going to help Mr. Weedman.
I always say Hi-Fi. I don't know. It's just something that just because.
It's their handle.
Yeah, it's High Focus Media. Sorry. It's just I say Hi-Fi.
It's okay. I got you covered tonight. I got you. You just keep talking.
So they finally brought something to the South Side, and they did an Urban Legend Cup where 66 home growers got to enter into a growing contest.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
66 and 22 made it to the finals. That's a lot of judging, first and foremost. So what was also cool about it, though, there was vendors there, all different local vendors. We saw a lot of people we know, a lot of people we've seen throughout going to a bunch of different events in the city and in the suburbs. And so Mrs. Weedman had her Eight Decades table, and then there was, do you remember the Spliff Society was there?
Uncle Stu's Glass, Bob's Rosin, or Bob's Live or something. Bob's Buds, but he was doing
He was doing straight up dabs hash. Yeah, it was
and
great.
Hash. Then there was Vape and Prop. There was Glass.
We can't remember.
It's going to come back to me. The Testing Company.
Yeah, Testing Company was very busy.
Yeah. Spliff Society.
Yep.
Yeah. It was cool.
There was more than that. We can't remember. Sorry if we didn't remember everybody. But then we did a sesh tent out in the alleyway where it was all decked out.
Well, they did it.
They did it.
We co-hosted.
Yeah, we co-hosted the tent. So High Focus Media tent kind of made it like Halloween-y with hay bales and pumpkins all over the place. And we had a couple of live weed plants around and a couple on the little clones on the table. And then Mrs. Weedman in Eight Decades was the smoke sesh area where people can come and roll joints and use our smoke set. And there was me hosting that table and keeping an eye on everything and actually sitting down and rolling and stuffing joints for people with my home grow. Mm-hmm. But also somebody donated what I called table weed.
Yeah.
And when people would come up to the table and say, well, where do I get weed from? Like, there's a two ounces of table weed right there in that jar. Take a couple nugs and have some fun on the smoke set. And if you need, there's plenty of papers on the table. There's cones. Have yourself a blast. And people are like, table weed? And I'm like, yes. Back in like the 16, 1700s, when people came to America, there wasn't like, they didn't know they could drink the water. So they would make table wine and table beer. And table beer was like 1% alcohol. They would boil it, make a wort. Let it ferment out in there to get some yeast in there, and they would keep it. That's what they would drink because it was pasteurized basically because they boiled it. Mm-hmm. So instead of table beer and table wine, we had table weed.
It was pretty great.
It was fun. So a lot of people had a lot of fun. I was there from noon. It didn't start till 2, but I got there noon, started stuffing joints for like people, like some of the people that were helping out and volunteering and stuff and some of the vendors. And by 2 o'clock when people started coming in, by 3:30 – I had already was in 20 joints deep of people just stuffing, rolling, and passing around the tent. By the end, by 6:15, I think I was probably about 40 or 50 joints. Like I've smoked, like someone passing around. That was a lot.
Yeah.
That was a lot of joints for a long day. And I think someone gave me a couple milligram chocolate, too.
Oops.
So I was pretty baked the whole time, but had a blast. But I finally got to relieve you for a minute. And then you went, you went and got, took a break, and then you went and saw the tent, and you came back and you were like, I'm really high. Yeah. Like, did you like taste like 15 joints? While you
I had Bob next to me, Bud. I'm going to look up his profile. So he offered me some like homemade live rosin. I was like, well, yeah. I said, but I like, I can't get lazy. I have to function. I got to work the table. So let's do a nice little low key, you know, give me a sativa, but like a tiny dab. Well, like three rips into it, I was like, fuck, I got to stop, dude. I can't. I'm just done. So I'm like, I tried to like tiptoe away from the table when he wasn't looking. And he's like, could you clear that, please? I was like, oh, shit. So I had to take another rip. And I was like, oh, Lord. That stuck with me for a while. Then somebody handed me a chocolate.
I gave you a joint to go smoke. You gave me a joint. I'm like, have you smoked yet? You're like, no. I did a dab. Didn't tell me you did like four dabs. Yeah. And you came back and you had smoked half of the joint I gave you. And you're like, I'm really.
Oh, and somebody was passing me their joint. A big, big fatty, which I think had rosin down the middle. I couldn't see. So, well, I was really doing all right.
You were good.
I was doing all right.
You were good.
Yeah.
When you came back, you're like, you're good. You're like, good. I'm going to get you a beer. I got your water. I'm going to go back to the tent to watch. And because I worked the tent, not only just sat there and stuffed joints, but when people got up, I cleaned the tray off. I cleaned ashtrays out.
Right.
There was people were leaving drinks. Okay, people, can I just say something? If I find you ever ashing in a tray that is weed in it, we're gonna have a discussion. Because you people out there, that is so bad.
Yeah,
there's ashtrays. We were outside.
There are ashtrays all over
in a gravel area.
The ground.
You could ash on the ground. You ashed in a tray that had weed in it.
A rolling
like not
tray.
Just a little bit of weed, a lot of weed, and now it's all mixed in there. And I was like, I remember I looked at the person that did. I'm like, you just. There was an ashtray right next to you.
Wow.
You ashed on top of fresh weed. And it was, I think it was my grow that I gave to somebody. So it made me, I think, even a little bit more upset. Right? And that person was like, I'm so sorry. I'm like, don't be sorry. Just look.
Don't do that shit.
Yeah. Right. It's rude. Would you do that in your own house?
Right.
So people, when you go to an event like this, take care of the stuff. People are donating stuff for you to use, stuff to smoke.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was a lot of weed. I probably went through probably the table weed. I would say it was an ounce and a half that was gone. And then I probably went through about an ounce and a half of my own personal home grow and some stuff I get from Big Earl.
Right.
So people are donating and making, helping you feel good. Don't like
just respect,
respect
it.
The table. That's all I got to say.
I like that.
Respect the table, you know? So just, but it was a great event. I got to meet a lot of awesome people. Another thing. So someone lit up an infused joint. And if you're going to make these, and right now they're so popular right now, I'm probably going to talk about it in the next episode. They're up like percentage wise, huge. Infused joints are all over the place, which is great. I think they have their place. But if you make one out there, and I there's some people I respect that make them, but on Sunday, someone lit an infused joint up, and I fucking swear, it felt like I put my face inside a butane tank.
Ugh.
And that's all I smelled for like an hour. And the person who lit it and was trying to pass it, and I said, yo, can you take that over there? and that person was like, is it bad? I'm like,
it was just so strong.
It smelled like you just took a lighter and you pulled it all in your mouth, sucked it all in, and blew right in my face.
Oh.
And then there was a couple other people that noticed the butane. Like, is something burning? Does someone like have a stove on? And I was like, it's not easy to make those. So if you're gonna make stuff like that, do it correctly because people are putting that in their body.
Yeah.
So anyway, go back to the positive. It was a lot of fun. I had a blast. I talked to so many people sharing joints, so many people telling stories. I was at one point telling a lot of fun stories. I got to shake hands, kiss babies, and give a lot of hugs on Sunday. And I want to thank High Focus Media and everybody that participated, all the vendors, all the people I got to meet. I finally got to meet face-to-face Jason from Illinois News Joint. And we've had him on the show. Finally got to meet him. It was dope to meet him. We talked for like 30 minutes and finally really got to meet him face to face. I was so happy because I've always wanted to meet him. since he wrote that article about us and we had him on the show. So, Jason, it was a pleasure getting to meet you, and all the home growers that participated and all the ones that came out to the tent and the sesh tent and talked with me and then went back to talk to Mrs. Weedman. And we just talked shop. We talked grow. A lot of people had a lot of good weed, man. It was some great fire stuff I got to try. Thank you for sharing your home grow with me. A lot of people didn't even know who I was. They just knew I was my nickname, and my wife, Mrs. Weedman, had the table inside. Go check her table out, because that's a lot of times what I said. So it was amazing just to talk shop with people and just hear people's stories and sharing their first experience with cannabis and or why they like cannabis so much. And then, you know, it was great just having full conversation with people and listening. And then some people, you know, wanted to hear about us. So it was kind of cool too. But I really enjoyed listening to people's stories about weed and hearing that fun conversation throughout the tent at times where I was just like zoned out, like stuffing a joint and paying attention, but could hear conversations. Because it was a nice tent. It was pretty long. There was two long tables in there. And then there was some chairs and little small tables. So there was people rolling like crazy. And it was a lot of fun watching people roll in different styles. People just talking strains, people talking grow. It was so awesome. I was so happy to see you finally come to the South Side. And then the fun part was this. Two fun parts. You're going to tell this one part.
Okay.
I'm up in the dressing room real quick, in the green room, because I had to use the restroom. And Maddie said, go to the dress, because there was a line. She goes, go to the green room upstairs. I'm like, great, thanks. I ran. And while I was upstairs peeing, in the restroom, not just anywhere.
Well, that's good.
In the restroom.
Glad. Glad to hear that.
The fire alarms went off. And I said, we smoked this motherfucker out. And I ran out of the bathroom all smiling, running through the crowd going, we smoked this motherfucker out. Holy fuck. So, but it was off in like 10 minutes, like 5 minutes. I thought people were going to start panicking. Mm-hmm. Nope, nobody panicked. Everyone just started laughing. Mm-hmm. And then Alan talked about that on stage, going, we fucking blew this place up, and the fire alarm and the fire department came. But then who came, Mrs. Weedman?
The police department. I'm standing on the front side, like on the customer side of my little spot where I had my pop-up shop, and standing there talking to some people. And we kind of look toward the entrance, and we're like, you know, it's like almost like three rooms deep, and we're in the third room, and there's a front door. And so the light was like, it's a dark old, you know, it's a like a brewery. So it's kind of dark, like dimly lit in there. And then so the openings, the doorways were all super, super bright. And you just see this dude like walking down, taking up the whole hallway. Boom, boom, boom. We're like, wait, what the fuck? And everybody just kind of stopped. There was just like a complete pause. Like anybody that was in that area, like, whoa, like the fire alarm went off. Shit. And now it's like the fire alarm's not on anymore, but now the cops showed up like, oh, fuck. And nobody said anything. And then all of a sudden the guy just kind of like shrugs his shoulders. Like he gave like a look around, turned his body in all directions, like shrugged his shoulders and turned around and walked out. And we all looked at each other like, no fucking way. No fucking way. Did we really just see that? Like, where are we?
Do you want to know why? But do you want to know why?
It was so great.
Because a police officer walked...
There was nothing to complain about.
Kind of a joke, but a police officer walks into a room with a bunch of stoners.
Yeah.
Just smoking and laughing and having fun.
Right, right. He's like, oh, nothing's happening
right
here.
There's the joke. Ah. A policeman walks into a bar.
Ba-dum-bum.
Right.
Bum-bum.
And sees a bunch of stoners playing around having fun and smoking weed.
It's cute.
And he just goes, hey, what do you want from me?
Right.
And walks out.
All right. I wish I could stay.
Wish I could join. So that was a highlight.
That was fun.
Both of those.
I mean, we were like this whole group of people. We were all like, no fucking way. I think everybody was like, I think I was just high. Maybe I didn't really see that.
And they had to go through some struggles too, because the parking lot is all torn up there and the streets are all torn up on that old like Western Avenue.
Yeah.
So that was a problem too. And still it went off really well. And I want to say this to the South Side. I'm so proud that you showed up.
Mm-hmm.
And I met some people from the North Side. I met some people from some of the other parties they threw and some of the other events, the professional
and all
that.
But South Side parties don't get North Side turnout.
No. And it was about over 200 people.
Yeah.
It was great. Cool. And having fun and laughing and just doing
From all over.
What stoners, burners, and potheads do best.
Oh my God, the music was such a vibe.
Music was great. Jazz, right?
Live jazz.
And Alan was DJing. He was throwing some good stuff on there.
Yep, DJing.
Old school hip hop.
Oh my God, it was great.
Yeah, so the vibe was dope, and it was so much fun.
There were activities. I didn't even realize you could blow glass and make your own one-hitter.
Oh, yeah, I saw a couple people post that on social media.
They had a rosin press, so if you had flour, you could bring it in and press it.
We worked it.
It was really cool.
I mean, I was at that table. I only left that table twice from noon till 6:05 when I helped wrap some of the stuff up and clean up. I loved it. I loved being out there just fucking stuffing joints and talking to people the whole time. It was so much fun. I'm just so happy that something happened close to my house. I didn't have to drive downtown for it.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah, it was so good. So good. I had to go fucking downtown, deal with traffic, and try to find parking. It was amazing. And I got to hang out with a bunch of dope ass fucking people.
Yeah.
So I can't wait for them to do it again next year. Maybe they should do it sooner than later. Because Southside needs more parties like that, especially because that venue is so dope.
Yeah.
Yeah, Blue Island Brew Company's fucking venue is great to do it. So especially going into the wintertime, because it's going to be nice and cool in there too. So check it out. We love it. Anything else you got to say about that, Mrs. Weedman?
No, it was great. It was great. Looking forward to the next one.
Did I tell the right story?
Yeah.
All right, perfect.
I think so.
Three trees. Little shout out again.
Yeah,
thanks for the fucking Bruce Banner.
Over here.
Fucking high as hell.
Yeah.
So, ready to get the show started? Maybe.
Yeah, can we get the show started? I don't know. You might lose us a little here and there, people.
I got this.
We're gonna work at it here.
I ain't no rookie.
We can do this.
Let's do this.
Let's do it.
The art of cannabis pairing. How to match strains with activities. We can go outside, do karate, or we could build bunk beds and have more space to do activities. As a former NASA JPL engineer and CEO of Sorting Robotics, this person always had I don't even know how to pronounce this word. PNCHANT. What's that word?
Penchant.
Thank you. For problem solving and innovation, my journey through the realms of science and technology has been marked by deep appreciation for the atrocities of our universe and by the commitment to exploring the uncharted territories of knowledge. But like many, this person has found solace and inspiration in the world of cannabis. Recently, this person became intrigued by a fascinating realm of cannabis pairing, how different strains can enhance specific activities, stimulate creativity, and elevate relaxation. I'm going to say this strain, Bruce Banner, is stimulating my creativity right now. And the name of the writer is Nothul Partansky, Partansky. So this is the writer, so I'm So elevating creativity. For those moments when you need to unlock your inner innovator, sativa dominant strains like Bruce Banner here are your go-to. But also strains like Jack Herrera and Durban Poison or Green Crack, which I've smoked all of them, are known for their potential to boost creative thinking, making them perfect for brainstorming sessions or artistic endeavors. As someone who has always enjoyed getting creative, Mrs. Weedman over there has smoked Jack Herrera, and so is this writer, can help see problems from a new angle and come up with innovative solutions. Relaxation and unwinding. Sometimes after a long day, in this writer's case, the manufacturing floor, all you need is to unwind and disconnect from the stress or some awesome fucking indica strains such as Granddaddy Purp. I love Granddaddy Purple. And then Blueberry Kush. I love Blueberry Kush. Mrs. Weedman likes her Kush strains too.
Oh, yeah.
Or OG. I've been smoking this since like 99 2000, Northern Lights, offering a soothing experience that's perfect for relaxation. The blend of cannabinoids and terpenes from these strains can help you find serenity and contemplation, which is really wrong how I said that word, but that's okay, which is essential for anyone dealing with a complex problem solving task in need of a mental break. I can't believe I've been smoking Northern Lights for that long, though. I love Northern Lights. Oh, man. And we didn't know, like, cannabinoids back in, like, 99, 2000. I didn't know a shit ton about terpenes back then. Mm-hmm. I just knew I liked Northern Lights. What I liked to smoke. So whatever, you know, terpenes now that we know and cannabinoids now we know and percentage now and stuff, Northern Lights is a shit. Mm-hmm. Exercise and working out. Some people like using cannabis when they exercise. I don't. I sit on a weight bench and stare at the ceiling and don't move for like 10 minutes because I'm so baked. So, but some people like it. And to them, it goes hand in hand. And if you're inclined towards physical activity, strains that combine the best of both worlds, like hybrid strains, are a great choice. The right hybrid can provide a subtle energy boost while also keeping you relaxed enough to enjoy the process. Strains like Blue Dream or Trainwreck, which we just smoked the other night, Big Earl came through with some fucking high grade. Holy shit. I was confused for a couple minutes there smoking this shit. And that fucking train wreck.
We were all confused for a few minutes.
Big Earl fucking texts me that night when he gets down south.
What the heck?
He goes, dude, that train got me good. I said, you? Dude, we smoked that.
He said, the train wrecked me.
Yeah, the train wrecked me. And he rolled a fatty. He can roll a fatty. He can roll a joint. I mean, he's a professional.
Yeah.
And but I tell you what, this fucking I've smoked Blue Dream. I love Blue Dream. I smoked Blue Dream. Like, the first time I smoked was like back in like 2014 or 15 when I was in Cali hanging out. And no, it was like, yeah, 14. Yeah, I think it was 14. But Trainwreck, I hadn't had Trainwreck in a while, and I never had no shit like this before. I haven't been that high.
Yeah.
Fuck. Like, where I was confused high. Like, for a moment there, I was like,
just need to be still.
Remember Big Earl told us the story about his parents are named Paul and Susan.
Yes.
And I got confused. I'm like, is this my long lost son?
Wait.
I was so baked. I was faded. I was wrecked. I was train wrecked. I was fucking so big. I'm like, I got confused for a second. I was like, is he our long locks? God. He's young, but I don't think he's that young.
Right.
We're in our 50s, but
could he be our child?
Right.
And would we have lost him?
That's what I'm saying. I'm like, we've been together for almost 30 years. Right. You know, where did he come from?
Yeah, it is almost 30.
Yeah, almost 30.
Yeah, he's older than that, right?
I think so.
Oh, my God.
So I was fucking like, did he just say we're his parents?
Did we just become best friends? I think we said that too, didn't we? Did we just become best friends?
So I was fucking so big, like I am right
it
now.
Was a moment.
But I mean, I was having, fucking train wreck. Yeah. Earl, my brother. Oh,
great.
Gosh. So good. So good. That
and
I
now, three trees.
Oh, man. Problem
Dang.
Solving and focus, though.
Schnizzles.
Focus, focus, focus.
Okay.
Cannabis pairing may also enhance your ability to concentrate and tackle complex tasks. For activities that demand unwavering focus and attention to detail, the strain like Green Crack can provide a potent cerebral high that helps you dive deep into the problem solving. 100% accurate about this strain. Cottonmouth like a bitch.
Dang. I'll get drinking.
Yeah. However, it's essential to consume the strain in moderation, as one too many hits, as in Bruce Banner and Green Crack, you'll be going deep into the rabbit hole you've never intended or nor wanted to go. That's what Trainwreck did to me. I got deep down the fucking thinking we were Big Earl's fucking long lost parents, Paul and Susan.
You're like, what just happened? Oh,
he's gonna listen as he can laugh
he's
his
gonna
ass
be
off.
Cracking up.
He's gonna be like
Lauren, come here.
Oh, God. In all your explorations, remember that cannabis affects each person differently, and it's crucial to start with a low dose, especially if you're a newcomer to its world. Going low and slow is key. Keep in mind that while these may have been some of my favorite pairings, the writer's pairings, everybody has their own unique experiences with the plant, and different cannabinoids and terpenes can affect each of us differently. The art of cannabis pairing offers a world of possibilities to those seeking to enhance their activities. So much room for them. Just as innovation and problem solving do for me as an engineer, the writer, though a responsible bit of experimentation and self-discovery, you can find the strains that best complement your chosen pursuits. Whether they involve creativity, relaxation, exercise, or focus, give it a go and explore pairing. Have fun. You pair wine and food or beer with food, pair your strains together. It's all good. Right, Mrs. Weedman?
That's right.
Because you're next.
Oh, boy. I'm ready.
10 ways. Whew. 30 years. We just said we've been together 30 years, right?
Yep, yep.
10 ways that smoking weed together can make this podcast happen.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But improve our overall relationship.
Yeah.
You got this?
I got it.
Talk about
it. I think I can see.
Let's
go. All right, let's do this. 10 ways, like he said, that smoking weed together can improve your relationship. Smoking cannabis as a couple has the potential to enhance your relationship in numerous ways. Not only can it contribute to better sex, it also leads to emotional intimacy, more interesting conversations, and other scenarios both in and outside of the bedroom. It's very common for couples to share a bottle of wine or a few beers over a romantic meal. However, other couples prefer to keep things herbal and indulge in joints and bongs instead of beers and shots. Cannabis's popularity is rising rapidly as laws change, and the substance has become common in many of the same situations as alcohol. Alcohol is known to increase social confidence and therefore might be fun to use in a dating scenario, but booze is also associated with increases in certain health conditions and acts of violence. So would you... Or could you, or what could, I'm just going to keep guessing until I get the right word. What could cannabis bring to a relationship instead? It appears the herb can enhance many moments from the mundane to the romantic. Here's a few of the most noteworthy. One, cannabis may enhance sex. The herb may improve a couple's sex life in various ways. For one, cannabis is known to increase sensitivity and alertness. An uplifting sativa strain can help people feel less inhibited during sex and potentially create a stronger bond with their partner. Cannabis is claimed to be an aphrodisiac that could enhance orgasms and boost sexual desire and arousal. Cannabis can make the sexual experiences more intense, and here's a doozy, it's associated with reducing erectile dysfunction. Dun, dun, dun. Number two, a mutual interest. One factor in life that keeps people motivated and passionate are interests and hobbies, and there's nothing like sharing a mutual love and fascination for cannabis. Smoking weed usually starts out as a casual ritual, but can often explode into a deep rabbit hole of research and interest. Some people still associate weed with sitting around being stoned, but enjoying cannabis together as a couple can become a mutual passion that ultimately brings two people closer together. Three, it can be a family enterprise. In regions of the world where it has been legalized, cannabis can be used to create artisanal home businesses. Everything from edibles to oils to pre-rolled joints are in high demand, all of which that can be made as a team in the home kitchen. Some couples...
Eightdecades.com.
Yeah, right? Some couples even go so far as to grow together and provide homegrown goodness to their customers. Growing cannabis alone is a fascinating and rewarding experience. Doing it as a couple brings it to another level. Four, deeper conversations. The first few months of a relationship are usually fueled by turbulent brain chemistry and intense romance. However, after some time, things start to normalize and settle down. This by no means reduces the quality of a relationship, but couples can begin to get slightly bored and spend more time on their phones than talking face to face. Cannabis is well known to ignite interesting conversations, and consuming together as a couple might help you put down the phone and engage in fascinating conversations ranging from each other's past stories to the origin of the universe.
Can I say yeah. something about that one?
Yeah.
That one, when we were going over this, I was like, this is...
Totally.
I love this one because we've had some fucking amazing conversations and some good conversations. We've had some tit for tats too. Mm-hmm. We've had some good one-liners. But the one thing, I don't know if the rest, I can't remember the rest of this article, but the laughs.
Yes.
That we've had some gut busters, like laughs, you and I. Because of just
weed.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. You and I have had some like excruciating like stomach laughs that like you can't stop laughing. And then all of a sudden 5 minutes later you think about it again and you start laughing. Yes. I've seen you crying laughing. Sometimes because you've laughed so hard at some of the stuff that you've said to me or I've said to you or something we've watched or
it's just
the laugh. If you're a couple and you're goofy and you're not experiencing cannabis and goofiness, like Mrs. Weedman's goofy. You have to understand.
I think any couple just experiencing it together.
Right. But if you're, but
it's like another level.
Yeah. 100%. But if you're a couple that laughs a lot and has some good guts and you play off one another, you bust each other's chops, you banter a little bit, but there's some gut laughing laughs just like
good.
So good. Mm-hmm. Like to where you'll never forget some of these laughs because they were just that classic. So I mean, between the conversations you have and then going into the laugh part of it, oh my gosh, there's nothing better.
All right. 5, it adds flair to the kitchen. Food is another form of bonding. Sitting down at the table on a daily basis to eat a well-prepared meal helps encourage interaction. Cooking for a partner is also a display of care, love, and dedication. Cannabis can add serious flair to the kitchen in 2 primary ways. For one, cannabis usually triggers serious cases of the munchies. Smoking together will have you in the kitchen together in no time, getting creative and cooking up a storm. The second way is that cannabis can be infused into almost any dish using cannabis oils and butters. This means you and your partner can bond over cooking up a batch of edibles, experiencing the high together from your own creations. 6, way less drama. Every relationship has its challenges, and life simply wouldn't be the same without them. Couples who adapt to trials and tribulations are usually stronger and more trusting. However, excess jealousy, drama, and obsession can sometimes bring a relationship to its end. For some people, throwing cannabis into the mix offers a change in perspective and helps bring things down to earth. Cannabis is famous for chilling people out and relaxing them. If things start to get heated, you can always try lighting up a joint together and then trying to work things out calmly.
Yeah, I agree with that one.
Yeah. 7, traveling is way more fun. Traveling is fun, and it's one of the most profound ways to expand your mind and your perspective of the world. Vacationing as a couple can create a strong bond, but it can certainly test you. It can be highly stressful, triggering heated arguments between couples. Going on a journey to weed-friendly locations will simmer such arguments down and offer some much-needed respite. Additionally, sparking up a nice sativa strain will likely get couples in the mood for an adventure, such as hunting for waterfalls or hiking through the mountains.
I like traveling with Mrs. Weedman because I don't have to think about anything because Mrs. Weedman knows what I like. So she likes to plan it. So I'm like, just whatever you want to do, I'm good.
Yeah, you usually plan too much. And then he's like, can we just have one day?
Just do nothing. I like to get lost.
I just want to see everything possible.
When we went, so remember when we went on the trip and we went to Venice?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, can we not do a tour? Can we just go get lost?
Yeah.
And I was just smoking.
Oh, it was super fun.
I was just smoking the pen the whole time because that's all I was able to, and some edibles. And we just got lost to the streets and we found some fucking cool ass stuff.
Yeah.
So I always just want one day of travel to like,
chill out.
Let's just chill out, but chill out meaning like, let's go get lost.
Yeah.
Let's do things that we're normally not going to do. Let's not follow a trail. Let's just go get lost in the sauce.
Wander.
Yes, 100%. Don't play with your eyeballs.
Oh, my eyes.
It's the worst.
Itching.
You know you can't stop once you start.
Number 8, pampering becomes even more relaxing. Pampering each other in a relationship is a sure sign of love. Lighting up some candles, running a bath, and giving a massage are surefire ways to help your partner feel relaxed and renewed. Using cannabis as a tool in this setting can enhance the benefits derived from a warm bath or deep tissue massage. Cannabis-infused massage oils and bath bombs will help to soothe tight muscles and contribute to healthy skin. 9, it makes staying fit way more fun. It is often expressed that couples who work out together stay together, and this does make perfect sense. Being in good shape boosts self-esteem to new levels, which can be great for insecurities within a relationship. Also, the endorphins released during the process of lifting weights and playing sports might help you be nicer to one another. More and more people believe that cannabis and a good workout go hand in hand. So while heading to the gym as a couple is great for motivation, doing so a little buzzed might help both partners focus and safely push their limits. And 10, it can increase creativity and spontaneity. Routines are essential in life to stay focused and motivated, but too much routine and not enough spontaneity can take a toll on a relationship. Surprising your partner out of the blue with a trip or gift is a way to keep the fire burning. Because weed is so effective at sparking creative ideas, it might contribute to keeping a couple on their toes and coming up with new ideas. So, give it a try.
I feel more spontaneous when I'm high than when I'm not high.
Yeah, you're not a super spontaneous person.
I'm not. I'm a person that likes to just go straight. There's no left or right when I'm not.
And I want to know every way.
When I'm not stoned. When I'm stoned, I don't care. But when I'm a rigid. What is that called? Like,
you just you just are kind of systematic.
Yes. Yeah.
You like routine.
Yes, I just like Yuki.
And I'm like. I'm melting. These rules.
30 years we've been together, though.
Fuck.
Don't forget.
Yeah.
We do it.
I think that if I didn't adhere to some of your habits, like your routine habits.
And if I didn't
adhere
to some of your habits.
I'd be like up until 4 a.m. And then, you know.
But if I didn't adhere to some of your habits, I wouldn't be spontaneous.
Right.
And I wouldn't have the knowledge I have in some of the cultural things that you're into. I'd be a dumbass when it comes to that because I pay no attention.
Right.
So we balance each other.
Hey, how about that?
It's pretty nice. With cannabis, too, even better. When you go to a dispensary, though. Mm-hmm. What do you think? Like, when I don't want to read this whole article because we've been to enough dispensaries and stuff like that. And what do you think would, for you aesthetically, because you're good, what do you think? Like, you've been in enough now. Mm-hmm. What do you think the modern, how would you elevate the modern cannabis dispensary? Like, what would be your couple things you would do differently?
I am a person who wants to shop, not be sold things. So I kind of like to be left alone so I can pick and choose the things that I'm looking for and not feel pressured to be enticed by something someone else thinks I need. So I think in a dispensary, things need to be more visible. They need to be tangible. There's something about physically touching the thing that you're going to purchase, the weight of it, the feel of it, the packaging, what it looks like. The physicality is important. And when all you're looking at is a menu, and this is like a whole new world for so many people, right? And so, and then you have no touch. You have no touch. You have no visual. You just have words. This is, you know, purple merple. I just felt like saying a challenging word. Purple merple. If there's even such a strain. And that's it. That's all you know.
Should be one now.
It's an indica. It makes you feel really weighty. Purple. You like melt in the couch. Okay, so that's the strain. And that's all you know. You don't know what it looks like. You don't know anything. There just needs to be more tangible. So I like dispensaries that have like a lot of showcase, a lot of like display items so that you can see packaging, so you could see glassware, tools, things like that. I like seeing like branded items from the dispensary. It's cool to see the things that they've chosen to put in there and a setting, like more of an aesthetic. Like I kind of like the clean lines and everything that they're doing in a lot of them to make it like a museum or like a jewelry store or like a pharmacy, like a fancy pharmacy, some of them. I'm really high.
I'm enjoying it. Because I read this article and I'm like,
to be more of a retail experience.
This is more your style of an article.
Yeah.
But because I go into dispensaries all the time,
right.
I've been from the East Coast to the West Coast. You know, I've been in dispensaries. So, I mean, I've seen a lot. I've seen my first experience, and it was one of my most happiest days of my life, going into Electric Lettuce
in
Portland. That was my first dispensary. And it was one of the most happy. That was like 2015. That was like one of the most happiest days of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I walked in, I'm like, this fucking place is dope. I was so excited. Yes, literally. I was so excited to walk into one. Yeah. And it's an old little house, which made it so much cooler.
Yeah.
And the budtenders were great. And they knew, and when I told them what I'd like, they didn't try to sell me anything. They didn't have a lot of edibles there, though. But they had a really good one. You like those sweet tart soft chews, right?
Oh, yeah, They had like that.
That was fire.
I just want to clarify, when I was saying that I don't want to be sold something, I'm not saying that in a dispensary I feel like I'm sold something. It's that I don't feel like I have a lot of decision-making power because I don't really know what I'm buying.
Right.
That's all.
Yeah, yeah.
Like the bud tenders are super.
But you've always said that about everything, though. You don't like to be sold.
You
like
to
be led. You like to be like.
Let me see my options and give me a minute.
Yeah, you want to look at stuff first and then you want to ask questions. That's the way you've always been. So it's not that you don't want to be helped by a bud tender. You want to do your own.
I want to understand what it is that I'm getting.
And then you want to ask on your choices.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
So you've always been like that shopping, though.
I'm sure I'm not alone.
No. Yeah. No, especially nowadays because there's a lot of new people going to dispensaries for the first time. Maybe their 10th time and
it's feel overwhelming.
Weird. Right. And, yeah. It is in a way because there's so many products.
And then they're actually just not learning because they're just getting handed. Like, they're having the discussion, obviously, with their bud tender to get the product. So they're learning what it is that they're going to be taking, and they're making a decision there. But they don't know, like, they're not seeing, like, these are three buds, and these are the three strains.
Well, it's Illinois. And you can't have any product out.
You can't
out.
Visually
it's
see brutal. Them and what,
right. No,
what
I
they
know.
Look like.
That's in Illinois.
And that's part of learning about the flower.
Right. And that's the problem. Because you can go to a liquor store and pick up bottles of booze and read the labels on them, read the alcohol percentage mm-hmm. and stuff like that. You're not gonna go to a fucking cannabis shop or a dispensary and they're gonna give you the weed and you're just gonna pop it in your mouth. You know what I'm saying? Like at a liquor store, you don't go to a liquor store and pop a bottle open in the store and just start right. drinking it.
Right.
Unless you're a degenerate. Well, yeah. And you need you know. But what do you think about the flow and the function and aesthetics of a dispensary should be? Because I read this article and I value your stuff because you always have great ideas for stuff like this.
I think the one thing is that, like, you check in with security, right? Give your ID, you know, get everybody gives you the okay, right? And you get to go in the door, and then you're almost in Illinois, you're immediately sent to a cashier, and the cashier is like the cash register is like that bud tender's station. So you're like, you're the transaction's over. Like, I walked past that stuff so fast because you said, come over here now.
Right.
I'm here. There's but now cool. I didn't get to, like, look around. And then I didn't know, like, can I look around?
Right.
Do I have time? Like, can I just go hang out and, like, look at the shelves and see what I want to see and then come over?
There's a bunch of cool, like, dispensary gear and swag and stuff that you might
like
want
to
look
at. You're not really supposed to spend time
right.
in there. Like,
which
I don't
is
know
so
if,
wrong.
Or if you're, I don't know if you're
so
allowed
wrong.
To. Or,
right.
Like, you've. Yeah, it's like this
it's
weird. Like, am I keeping the next patient from getting in because there's a percentage of people that can be inside at any given time, right? So then, if I'm shopping, you know, dragging my feet, do I get this T-shirt or that bowl?
I miss the
I'm
med
holding
shops.
Up someone else's.
I just
time.
Miss the straight med shops when Illinois was just med. Yeah. It was so nice. You were in this the. Mm-hmm. And it was so nice and relaxing.
Yeah.
You weren't rushed. That
right.
We actually, the butt tenders came out and talked to you, or they talked to you more behind the counter and
well,
you got to
beginning.
Walk around. I bought a couple bowls from my dispensary
yeah.
that I liked.
Yeah.
You know, and I was like,
everything
that's why I bought my
like,
first steamroller.
Right.
For you. Not
right.
my first, but my first new one, you know, from a different shop. And I was
and
like.
And the flour would be in little glass jars, like one bud
yeah.
in a jar.
Yeah.
And
you
it would
be
have
able
like,
look
a,
at it.
Like a seasoning topper
it
on it so you
nice.
Could sniff it.
It was
and
so nice. It was great. And so what about the experience of what would you be your like experience going into a dispensary?
Well, I think they all could have a different experience. I
right.
don't think that there needs to be one.
Do you
set
think
experience.
There should be an experience?
But I think there could be more of an experience
okay.
instead of just a transaction.
Okay. Do you think like what? So. Because there's
how did this turn into an interview? I feel so
it's
pressured.
Not because I read the article and I value I just told you I value your opinion more than the article
okay.
on stuff like this because
okay.
you can walk into a house and I've seen you walk into old houses and you put it and you want to keep the integrity of the house and but you know exactly what it needs to be done to make that house better. And that's why I've always admired about you. I've learned so much about architecture because of you, because you have an eye for it. So that's why I asked those questions about like all those. I value your opinion versus an article.
Thanks.
You're welcome. So now tell me about some sleep and cannabis. How do
okay.
I sleep better?
I'm gonna get my glasses on. Did I cut you off though?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
It was great.
Thanks. All right. Does cannabis lead to better sleep? From old school stoners who rip a bowl before bed. Hey. To the new age consumer with a specially formulated gummy, the plant has been a sleep aid for generations. As access to the plant grows, research is starting to tell us why so many sleepless people reach for their pot. A recently published study examined the connection between cannabinol, CBN, and sleep. CBN is a cannabinoid found in the cannabis plant in small quantities. The study's goal was to understand how CBN affects sleep and if CBD might enhance the effect. Turns out the minor cannabinoid may play a role in getting a good night's rest, researchers behind the double-blind placebo-controlled study shared affiliations with Cannabis Corporation's Canopy Growth, Charlotte's Web, and Wana Brands. The Cannabinoid Research Plan. There were five arms to the cannabis sleep trial. The placebo group, who got no cannabinoids. then there was the 20 milligram CBN group, 10 milligram CBD plus 20 milligram CBN group, the 20 milligram CBD plus 10 milligram CBN group, and the 100 milligram CBD plus 20 milligram CBN.
Ooh, that's a lot.
Yeah, right?
20 milligrams of CBN is a lot. Yeah. Ooh, I hope they didn't have nightmares.
Originally, researchers hoped to get 75 participants in each arm, pursuing participants through flyers, local radio, internet ads, and social media posts. Some hopeful participants were excluded. Those who consumed cannabinoids in the previous 30 days, had a positive screening for a few sleep disorders, or any changes to medications or routine during the testing period were turned away. Researchers passed on those with diagnosed sleep disorders to hone in on over-the-counter applications for the cannabinoids. Due to a lack of participants, researchers were forced to start with 65 participants per arm. That's not terrible. Before starting, participants set a sleep baseline for 3 days. They were asked to fill out three sleep-focused assessments to gather data. A form identifying fatigue was filled out 90 minutes before bed each day. Within an hour of waking up, participants filled out a core sleep diary and at the end of 3 days, a survey on how sound the rest was. During the next 7 day period, participants did the same, journaling and self-assessments while taking specially formulated gummies. They filmed themselves taking the gummies each night, recording time-stamped video entries. No major adverse reactions were recorded. Around 20% of each arm experienced some minor side effects like drowsiness and or a headache. The data gathered in these surveys were analyzed by statisticians who found there were no statistically different, those are tough words right now, different sleep qualities between groups. However, the CBN-only group experienced fewer sleep disturbances compared to the placebo group, and overall, more restful sleep according to participant self-sleep assessments. This means consuming CBN alone could lead to counting more vivid sleep, but doesn't improve sleep overall. There are some other limitations worth mentioning. For example, only one dose of CBN capsules was lab tested from the lot of formulations. Also, there was only subjective sleep analysis as participants self-reported in a fully remote study. A more comprehensive study, including an objective perspective, would provide a truly holistic view of the data. This study offers insight into how CBN works when it comes to sleep and shows where other cannabinoids could fill in the gaps. It's possible that adding THC, CBG, and other cannabinoids could make CBN more apt to kick in the entourage effect and improve overall sleep. As more cannabis brands craft sleep-focused products and consumers seek a restful night, studies like these should lead us in the right direction.
I haven't taken just straight CBN. Mm-mm. But I wouldn't want to take more than 10 milligrams. That 20 is rough.
Is it psychotropic? Is it?
I know some people that said it's like if they take too much CBN, they get nightmares. And I've also talked to two people, and one has extremely bad case of PTSD, and it gave them extremely bad nightmares. They can't do any CBN at all.
Oh.
Yeah. And and I think I've talked about it on the show before, and I learned that from a nurse. So 20 milligrams of CBD, I know somebody has that likes to take that level. It makes them like they're on mushrooms, they told me.
Oh.
I'm like, okay. So that's that. And then talking to some other people.
Everybody.
Yeah, I talked to some other people and who've just taken straight CBN and they enjoy it. It helps them relax and gets like a sleep aid. Hmm. But I've never taken, like, I have some older weed. I've been letting it sit for a while because I really want to see what it's like. It's the Weedman 420 Chronicles. I saved like four really big nugs.
That's like a year old.
No, year. That's my first grow. That was my second grow. Hmm. So that's 2020. So, but I've saved four nugs because I just really wanted to see what it was like. And they got the Boveda in there, and I could probably throw them in the Grove bags too and pop them back up a little bit. But I wanted to see like how much CBN is in there. Like, is it the knockout punch? Because I took a nug out the other day and felt it. It's not dry. It's not crumbly at all. So, because that cellar we have is amazing.
Right.
So, but it's going to be really big CBN. And I want to see what it's, so one day we're going to light up a joint and see what it's like.
Okay.
So, but yeah, I mean, I test some stuff out to see what happens. Because as your weed gets older, it's like fine wine. You get more CBN, less THC, and less the other cannabinoids. So, I'm looking forward to trying it. So, I want to just try straight CBN though. I want to try just 10 milligrams without any other cannabinoids in there and see if it really acts as a sleep aid, like everyone says it is. Because you don't know. They say it does, but you're also taking THC with it or CBD, so right. You're mixing a bunch in there, which is great. I want all the cannabinoids. But I want to try each individual cannabinoid just by itself. And I know you can buy stuff off, you know, but I don't know where it's from. Right. So I want to know. I want a reputable source, somebody that's doing it legitimately. So Long Island, though, their cannabis businesses wanted to kick off some weed sales. So come on, Long Island. I spent a lot of time there as a kid. Medical marijuana sales in Arizona take a summer slump. Oof, not good. And then so Alabama, cannabis licenses might be issued in the coming weeks. Roll Tide. Indian tribe beats North Carolina for medical and recreational cannabis. That tribe did it. I love it. The North Carolina Indian tribe just voted in recreational cannabis as the state languishes behind, unable to pass a medical bill. How North Carolina is losing Indian tribe over cannabis. I love it. Don't take any money from the government. Do it yourself. Weed arrests were nearly a quarter million last year per FBI data. Quarter million. The exact figure was 227,180 arrests for marijuana, cannabis. I thought we were supposed to not arrest anybody for it. So there's more to this. Of these arrests, 92% were for possession only. 92% for just possession. The reliability of FBI's crime data is in question. A nonprofit news organization, Appeal, noted that for over two decades, about a third of the state law enforcement agencies have not consistently reported to the FBI. The claim was supported by Normal. And at a time when laws which found dispensaries discrepancies in the raw FBI data versus what was published on its site. At the time when voters and their elected officials nationwide are reevaluating state and federal marijuana policies, it's inconceivable that government agencies, Mrs. Weedman jumped, agencies are unable to produce more explicit data on the estimated cost and scope of marijuana prohibition in America, said Normal Deputy Director Paul Armentano. Nonetheless, even from that incomplete data set, it remains clear that marijuana seizures and prosecutors remain primary driver of the drug war enforcement in the United States. Hundreds of thousands of Americans continue to be arrested annually for these violations, even though the majority of voters no longer believe that responsible use of marijuana by adults should be a crime. The war on drugs isn't 50 years enough from Richard Nixon in 1971, and it was the anti-war left and the black people drugs or cannabis. It was targeting people. So this whole thing on the $1 trillion drug war that the DEA has spent in 50 years, $1 trillion. You know how many people we could have helped with that? And it was all due to racism. Just like in 1937, eight decades, Harry Anslinger, the Marijuana Tax Act, all racism. Had nothing to do with the plant. Because certain people used the plant, they had a way to get them. So, and the DA and thousands of pot prisoners. The DA formed in the aftermath, spearheaded these policies, resulting in widespread drug arrests, especially among communities of color. The sentencing project underscored the racial disparity. Nothing that black Americans are 3.8 times more likely to be arrested for cannabis possession than their white counterparts. The Pew Research Center noted there were more than 2.2 million people incarcerated in the U.S. for drug offenses, making up about 46% of the total prison population. 46% of drug offenses, not even murderers, rapists, people that might have a drug problem or might sell drugs that could probably get help. The majority were nonviolent offenders, and at least 40,000 of them were serving time for cannabis, despite President Biden's October 22nd pardon of 6,500 federal pot prisoners when he famously said no one should be in jail just for using marijuana. Yeah, just words. Georgia will be the first U.S. state where pharmacies sell medical cannabis. It's coming. They're the first state. Get ready. Ew. Illegal marijuana grow of any size, only a misdemeanor, Michigan court rules. That's amazing in Lansing, Michigan. The likelihood of black market marijuana growers in Michigan facing full-blown paramilitary-style raids featuring battering rams and heavily armed narcotics team has diminished. Growing illegal marijuana in Michigan, even potentially thousands of plants, is only a misdemeanor crime. The state courts of appeals ruled on October 5th. The severe prison terms tacked onto marijuana prohibition laws of the past have been eliminated by newer, more lenient laws, the court said. That's amazing. Why don't you just do away with it, period? Everyone can grow, and it'd be amazing. Just don't let everyone just... Let people home grow and caregiver programs. Let them make money. Oh, it's amazing. Only a minor misdemeanor. Like, I don't know what the cost is, but whatever. Harlem's first dispensary opens up to customers on West 125th Street, right across the street from the Apollo Theater. Gotham Buds. Congratulations. Amazing. Finally, a dispensary has opened up in New York. Besides only the 12 they have now. Oh my goodness, you're gonna be real busy. Gotham Buds. Lines around the corner. Federal law says pot users can't have guns. Jersey City mayor says they must mean cops too, because in that city they were allowing cops after work be able to use cannabis. So that means by federal law everyone's gonna lose their guns in Jersey, the place I was born. Suits, schemers, and scammers. I still think that's one of my favorite episodes. It was number 6 or something that I did with Dob Boy and T when they were still doing the show with me when Paulie and Shoddy left me. And I still love that episode. It was like, to me, the episode where we finally found something. And so, suits, schemers, and scammers. What are 6 common ways to lose your lunch in cannabis, Mrs. Weed Mining?
Yeah. Follow me down the rabbit hole of false promises of payment from an Illuminati tier perspective. Through many years of experience, I have sadly come to know most, if not all, of these scams on a personal level. And today, I'm passing the lessons on to you. So buckle up and see what it feels like to be a financial crash test dummy in this emerging market. I hope to raise awareness in an effort to force these scammers to get a real job. This actual article was quite cynical. He's definitely had some challenges. Yeah. So I tried to soften the blow a little bit. All right. So here we go. Number 1, the imitator. The other night, a friend said to me, "I just followed your page." Well, I didn't see that she had followed. So I asked, "What page are you talking about?" And she proceeded to tell me the name of a page with one letter off from my current page. I replied, "That is not me. Please unfollow that page." It's always crazy to me to see these blankety, blatantly fake pages with an extra underscore or period or 2 of the same letter or 1 letter off from the main page with every single post that the real page has to look identical to the original. Looking down at the mutual followers, you can see people you know who have no idea that they're following a scam page. It's wild. I have even followed some of the pages unknowingly. One thing these scam pages are, that they all share, is a link to their Telegram page. When you click on the link, all you see is a picture of products. If you are dumb enough to order, your order will never arrive. I can't tell you how many times I hear about people getting scammed off these Telegram trap pages. Sadly, if you live in a non-legal state, you might think it's your only option to get product. But I have to tell you this. No one should be placing orders with someone they don't know on the internet. 2, the bot guru. One of the biggest scams are those pretending to be cannabis marketing gurus, who in reality are just in control of a bot farm. There is a certain individual in the Los Angeles area that I will refrain from mentioning by name because I don't want my Instagram page deleted again, who has scammed literally every single cannabis brand that's given him money for his so-called company's cannabis marketing. For services like Instagram, account growth, SEO optimization, memes and advertising, among other bogus opportunities he claims to offer. He gains the trust of clients by inviting them to a rented West Hollywood condo ordering them the Trust Me bento box from Sugarfish while gassing them up off the prescription amphetamines he takes daily. This is this guy's words.
Yeah, this is High Times. This is High Times magazine. And just so you know, by Sour Ways. So, yeah, this ain't us. We're just reading because I thought it was interesting.
Yeah. I'm talking Fry Festival level scams. Putting together make-believe parties during MJ BizCon and scamming unsuspecting and hardworking individuals into paying for participation. And when the participants arrive at said party destination, guess what? There's no party. And these event planners are nowhere to be found.
Yeah, make sure we don't click on anything for a while after this. We read this article. Yeah.
These narcissistic sociopaths will stop at nothing to finesse you. Don't believe everything you see online. The followers are and likes are bots and not earned. Bottom line, if your cannabis needs a lame marketing guru for you to sell your product, it's time to reevaluate your growing standard of practice and strain list because real fire sells itself. 3. The influencers. Again, not our words. The next one involves influencers. I chime in here and say that me and Mr. Weedman, know a lot of influencers, and this person's perspective is not our perspective.
Does not reflect our opinion at all.
We haven't had this problem, but, you know,
I have a lot of friends that are influencers. I love them.
And every field has, you know,
the good
scammers.
You have the good, you have the bad.
Right. So the ones that are bad are proposing their marketing campaigns will morph into going viral, but really that's not how it works. Brand owners seem to think that social media drives sales when it's really the opposite. When the product is impeccable and introduced to the right circle in an organic manner, that motion actually drives social media. It's not the other way around. 4, the IOU. I like to call this one the Net Nivoire payment plan. I can remember being in high school and fronting eighths to my friends. It's crazy to think that so many years later, the entire industry has reverted to this game plan. But it is what it is. Distributors and dispensaries that are swirling the toilet love to place orders with absolutely zero intention of paying the agreed purchase price, or any price for that matter. These people will run up orders simply then refusing to pay, knowing there's absolutely nothing that can be done about it. If you don't want to get bent over in the barrel, skip it with the IOUs.
Hold on real quick. You're lucky here in Illinois. If they had laws like they do in the alcohol and beer industry, if you don't pay your bill, if you don't pay, like you order product, you order, say, 50 cases of beer, okay? Mm-hmm. And you might have a net terms with that distributor. You might not. You might have to pay COD. Or you might get a net term, 14 days, 30 days. At that day after that net term, the state knows and locks your account up and you can't buy anything.
So your bills are always paid.
Your bills are paid. In the cannabis industry here in Illinois, there is none of that. You get on terms. You might not. You may. Depends on what kind of, you know, there is no bank to help you out with. You have no credit. You know, you have to pay your bills. But if you don't, there's nothing locking your account up.
Right.
So they could choose to pay you or choose not to pay you. And then you could choose to sell you more product or not to sell you product. Mm. So crazy. It's way different, alcohol versus the cannabis industry. It's also not fair, you know?
No, he's definitely, yeah. 5, the hash grab. Do you ever wonder what happens to the rest of the 2 ounces of hash required to compete at an event that doesn't get smoked that day?
Didn't somebody say that?
Yeah, but when you think about it, it's not that much. Or the large fee to even enter in the first place. Do you ever wonder why judges' kits from said events are listed for sale on select Instagram trappers' menus even after the event is over? Do you ever think to yourself, oh, wow, those same people won again? These popularity contests are getting out of hand. Last year, an event organizer straight up just kept all the products from sponsors for resale and pocketed their money for sponsorship. When confronted about his actions, he threatened to scorch the earth, but really just ran and hid behind his lawyer father. As a community, we need to be more thorough about who we choose to support because the people who introduced, endorsed, and promoted this scammer took less than zero responsibility for anything. And that is not legendary behavior. 6, the great opportunity. Finally, if a so-called friend that happens to own a cannabis brand asks you for money in any way, run. These guys will disguise their true motive as an investment opportunity, aka take your money and give you absolutely zero in return for it in many forms, such as they're going to offer you, you know, many forms like a percentage of their brand, some sort of fictitious lab share partnership, or a flat out loan. These are basic con man tactics. They will target anyone in their phone book and usually start down the line of real hustlers with disposable income because they know most of those guys don't want to take things to court, whereas guys playing with real money have lawyers and contracts. But that doesn't matter to them. What matters to them is keeping the lights on and keeping the appearance of success in hopes someone might actually be dumb enough to believe their clown shoe company valuation. Online and via text message, they will say whatever to keep things cool so they don't get outed as thieves. When confronted in person, they will squirm and scurry like little rats. It amazes me to see people that act like they're so legacy that they practically wrote Prop 215, pulling scams on people that were in the trenches just like them for so many years. Opportunivores do come in all forms. After hearing this, if you continue to fall for any of the above scams, at least you've been warned. In fact, you'd better brace yourselves for the next level. Imagine when these Instagram, Telegram scammers learn how to use AI to deep fake the plug and offer you cheap terps. Will you fall for it? Stay vigilant and protect your energy and also your wallet, because the future is getting weird.
It was a good article by High Times. Yeah. So. But I thought it was very interesting. Mm-hmm. International news. 80% of legal cannabis stores are losing money in Ontario as a government review of the Cannabis Act drags. High taxes. After smelling legal marijuana in New York, Colombian president denounces... I can't pronounce this word because I'm really stoned. E-N-O-R-M-O-U-S.
Enormous.
That's what I thought. Enormous. So big. H-Y-P-O-C-R-I-S-Y. Hypocrisy. Right? I had to spell it out to sound it out, right?
Gotcha.
Of U.S.-led drug war. I agree with the Colombian president, Gustavo Petro. Because that's what we read articles. All you can smell is weed on the streets in New York. And I agree with him. And you are going to do something great in Colombia. And I'm so glad you're calling the U.S. out, because for 50 years, like you said, people have been imprisoned. And how many people died? Because undoubtedly, illegality brought violence. Oh, I love this president. Oh, so nice. The president spoke on October 3rd announcing a new national policy that will loosen criminal penalties instead work to transition Colombians to legal sectors of the economy. He described the plan as an effort to break the cycles of poverty, violence, and criminal prosecution facing families in drug-producing regions. The plan seeks to cut the country's cocaine production by nearly half, mitigate environmental impacts of illicit drug production and trafficking, minimize violence caused by the drug trade and its criminal enforcement, and promote the inclusion, social protection, and care of people who use drugs, according to the description from his office. That's pretty good. And then they're about to blow up with cannabis, too. They're going to be a huge exporter. They're going to blow up. It's going to be coffee and weed coming out of Colombia. Mm-hmm. It's going to be great. Good for them. Cannabis legalization debate in Germany's heats up with pro and con arguments. They're still not there yet. And I'm just like, come on now, man. This has been going on for a couple of years. We've been reading about Germany for a while now. It's still not done. Luxembourg and Malta beat you to it. Now, come on. Get your shit together. It's time. You're a weed mom.
Yeah.
Tell us why.
Technically.
Tell us a lot.
Yeah. So this is a one woman's perspective on being a weed mom. And she says, I just want other people to be just as comfortable with the option. So I believe the journalist Molly Kraus, this is a first person article. So she says.
Yeah, this is a long one.
Yeah, it is. So get ready. It's not terribly long.
No.
The first time I smoked weed, there was no state decriminalization initiatives on the horizon. The hit Showtime series Weeds was still a plausible concept, and parenthood wasn't even on my radar. Now I'm a mom of three, and cannabis use is prevalent in my social circle, recreationally and medicinally. But conversations about it are still discreet and often involve justifications, despite the fact it's legal where I live. I'll be straight up about it. I use cannabis almost daily, and I'm starting to embrace the label weed mom. Introducing cannabis into my self-care routine has been liberating and healing, and I want other parents to feel comfortable trying it too. I talk about it as openly and as often as I can with other parents. I came to the Weed Mom life as part of my decision to quit drinking. A few years ago, I began the journey to overcome alcohol addiction and address my mental health issues. But the breakup with booze wasn't what I'd hoped for. Don't get me wrong, it was an improvement to my life, but I still grappled with anxiety, insomnia, and general emotional dysregulation. Given family history and my addiction struggles, I worried about recommended prescription medications like Xanax. But I knew I needed more effective ways to manage my anxiety beyond the usual advice of exercise, good sleep, and as if it were simple, and annoying breathing. Good sleep as if that were simple, and annoying breathing exercises. And so I started thinking about cannabis. I had lingering reservations as a 90s kid raised during the DARE program era, when every message about weed was full of inaccurate, over-the-top negative stereotypes. Using it casually and socially in my child-free early 20s was acceptable, but even then, I didn't want to get labeled as a stoner. But cannabis consumption is a lot different than it was in the early 2000s, when my typical consumption involved sitting in a dimly lit room and passing a joint around. My perspective shifted when I listened to friends who had moved to states with more permissive cannabis laws describe the vast array of products they could now explore as cannabis users. Then, earlier this year, the opening of our first local dispensary left me astounded by the variety of offerings. Oils, tinctures, chocolates, gummies, and dozens of vape options adorned the glass display cases. You can just walk in and ask questions, tweaking your choices until you get exactly what works for you. Support your legalization is at an all-time high, but there's still a lot of stigma tied up with being a cannabis-using mom. At the very least, I wanted to avoid being labeled as an irresponsible and untrustworthy parent. Discussing it openly with other parents is a rarity unless you are at a music festival. Meanwhile, being a mom with a glass of wine in hand makes you seem normal and fun. It's so normalized as a way to relax, but being a mom with a joint, not everybody wants to arrange play dates with her, or so I worried. And yet, many moms, including me at one point, seek or have sought comfort in holding a glass of wine during tough moments, often making lighthearted remarks about needing a drink when our kids became unruly or as the clock approached 5 p.m., signaling the challenging evening ahead. It's been part of the way we talk about motherhood in America for decades, but for some people, it leads to a dark place. And maybe for some, cannabis is a better, safer option. Why keep cannabis consumption a secret while people openly talk about cocktails? What's considered responsible for a mom anyway? Was it responsible when I had mimosas or Bloody Marys at morning playdates with my mom's group? Or when kid-focused events routinely included BYOB and I joined in with the wine while the kids played? The guilt I carry for my kids witnessing me intoxicated weighs heavily on me. I've worried that exploring cannabis might jeopardize the clear-headed, stable version of myself I worked hard to become. We have to change the conversation around substance use in parenting circles and support those who opt for alternatives like cannabis over alcohol. We need to create an environment where parents can make informed choices for their well-being and their families without judgment or stigma. Parenthood is demanding enough without scrutiny over how we choose to relax. My journey as a weed mom has been enlightening and transformative. I've discovered that cannabis can effectively help me manage stress and regulate my nervous system, and talking openly about it can help change the harmful culture of excessive alcohol consumption. As parents, it's our responsibility to choose what's best for our families and ourselves. For many of us, that means redefining how we unwind and care for our mental and physical health. Early 80s fashion disasters might be coming back, but it doesn't mean we can't leave the marijuana panic in the early 2000s where it belongs.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so. I can relate to some of that. Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Weed wasn't legal when our kids were young. And then by the time it was legal, you know, they were in high school and we were consuming and they pretty much knew about it, but I wouldn't talk about it outside of our house.
Right.
I would have been judged.
Yeah. So Jimmy Kimmel proclaims October 20th, Snoop Dogg's birthday, and midpoint to 420 as new marijuana holiday called Dog Father's Day. Good for Snoop. So they recognized him on TV and happened to be halfway to 420. So they did a big party, and he smoked a little joint on Jimmy Kimmel's show. It's great. Good for you, Snoop. Happy birthday. Cool. Mrs. Weed Man.
Mr. Weed Man.
That's the end of the show.
Yeah.
Boo-hoo.
Until next week, everybody.
You got anything else to say?
Have a wonderful week. Stay well. Stay high. Mr. Weed Man.
Man, we love you all out there. Praying for the world right now. Holy smokes.
Yeah.
I am praying for everybody.
Spread peace.
Love and peace and kindness. We have to do our best. Shit is fucked up again. A world without peace is no world at all. Just saying.
Mm-hmm.
There's people dying. Man, again, we just can't. It'll never end. Unless we as people, like, break through this and stop letting the tyranny of governments control the world. And, I mean, you wake up in the morning sometimes and you're scared. You know, what's going to happen to everybody? You know, some people don't turn a blind eye to it. Some people don't think about it at all. Some people don't care. I care for people. I care for humanity. So I love you all out there. Be kind to one another. As Paulie always says, smoke smart. Puff, puff, and away.
Puff, puff, pass.
Check out our cannabis lifestyle brand online at 8decades.com. Our custom smokes and accessories are perfect for your coffee table, bedroom nightstand, or kitchen counter. They're designed for you to show them off. The Canna community is also loving our hemp and cotton blend t-shirts, sweatshirts, scarves, and hats, finished off with our 8decades logo. We've got some awesome, long-lasting goods that will be your favorite for years to come. 8decades, because a ninth decade of cannabis prohibition isn't acceptable.